Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 330, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Did you just caw? Did you just go, bakaw?
Nah, that was just my Dean screen.
That was your Dean screen? Oh, there it is. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Come on in, the water is warm.
Yeah.
Like feverishly warm.
Yeah.
Like the brain is has a fever. It's a lot of fever dreams happening.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard to tell the difference between the fever dreams and the reality. It is Friday, March 22nd, 2024.
Yeah. Sorry. I was just thinking of that line from The Matrix. And he's like, do you ever know, like, you can't tell the difference between a dream and reality? And he just goes, yeah. It's called mescaline.
That's a line from The Matrix.
Yeah, right before he follows the white rabbit to the techno club. Anyway, it's March 22nd. Jack, get up out the holler because it's National West Virginia Day. It's also National Bavarian Crepes Day and National Goof Off Day. Why don't you just goof off, you freaking goof off?
Not me, man. I'm never goofing off at work, especially not during the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah. That's happening right now, dude. My bracket might be an absolute mess. I just bracket went pure vibrations. I had no idea who the favorite was, and my bracket shows it.
Yeah. You can just look at, like, the number one.
I'm more in on the women's tournament, to be honest.
I know. I wish I had gotten a women's bracket in. That's the one I'm most into. Bracket but I feel aside, like the women's bracket's going to get real, real exciting. Like, men's bracket, watching. I just want to see the best team lose every time for no reason. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah.
Are you always picking the 16 over the 1?
Every single time.
The 12 over the 5?
One of these years. One of these years, it's going to be all the opposite of chalk.
I always got to pick a couple 12s over the 5, to start off. Don't have any 16 ones quite yet, but hey,
Has that still happened every single year? Anyway, like for non-basketball fans, this is just gibberish, but
yeah.
Shout out to people who are enjoying the tournament. Shout out to my dad who used to take me out of school for the tournament.
Yeah.
Just to fucking chill, watch some games, watch some hoop.
What's it like a school that your dad worked at, Dayton, is in the tournament, and the school that my dad worked at, Long Beach State, is also in the tournament. I got them with the upset just for the vibes.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Just pick anybody I have like any relation to. I'm like,
yeah.
They're taking it all the way this year,
folks. I have Dayton going so far because I'm like, I don't know, dude. I just want Jack to kind
of heard of
feel
them
good.
Before.
Yeah.
They. Oh shit. Sorry.
What happened?
I missed a text from my wife earlier this morning, and it was like a timely text, and so I turned my ringer back on. So that's what you're hearing.
Oh,
and you're trying to stay on, and I'm gonna keep it on. I don't care. You're going to hear how many texts I get.
Okay.
It's not going to be many. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. all these almonds and all these crows out here. Somebody's getting fucked. Talking at, squawking at, spitting at crows. Hoping this plate of nuts eaten by crows. Ooh. Fuck this. I'm spitting mad. I'm hitting at crows. Got one dodging sticks, one con. Oh, no. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man, on the Discord.
Ooh.
I didn't hit the crows, Christy Yamaguchi, man. I just got disappointed in them. I just looked at them and showed them my disappointment that mm-hmm. they tore my backyard umbrella to shit just because I missed one day of their feeding.
Yeah. Told you, man.
I'm not hitting crows. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not like a ancient mariner in some poem. I'm not tempting the fates.
Yeah, don't do that. Here. Don't yeah. do that.
Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Mr. Miles Gray, aka boom, 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 boom. It's my friend Joe. He got geezer brain. It's my friend Joe. He got geezer brain. Beep beep. Who got Kamala for the Veep? Vroom.
Sorry, I should do that Cleo universe on the Discord.
Took me a second to figure out what exactly the cadence was, but when I figured it out, it's my
the
friend
phrasing.
Joe. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for that. And thank you to Missy Elliott.
I couldn't figure that one out. So great work, everybody.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Hannah Soltis on the Discord, who just puts the AKAs in and doesn't tell us what song it's for. Just like, I'll figure it out.
What do you mean? It's in there. Which one? So,
sometimes I've noticed panoramic view. We'll just put it without the song.
All right. Well, look. You know, there's
I'm not. I'm
on.
Not.
She got a lot of. Tables,
I like
man.
It. That's like artistry. That's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Some are so spot on though. You're like, I already know where this is going.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I respect it. The phrasing. Everything's so perfect that they don't need to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat. Yes. We're hitting for the cycle with faces on Mount Zeitmoor, three in a row.
Yes.
A hilarious and brilliant producer and TV writer. You know him from the Yo Is This Racist podcast.
Yes.
It is Andrew T.
Andrew! What up? I don't have a musical AKA because, and this will, I'll reveal the onion of this later, but my AKA is going to be Gotham's spookiest baker. This is the only thing I've accomplished in the last 2 weeks. It honestly could have been all of my items. So
all of your overrated, underrated search history,
yeah, piece God, of internet content. I'll explain it.
Okay.
I'm so
okay.
proud of myself.
Intrigue.
You
Intrigue.
Don't understand.
Intrigue.
Is there a culinary Batman villain? I feel like there should be, right?
I
tried everything.
If I have my way.
There's about to be one.
There's about to be a new, I guess, Joker sidekick. I don't really know entirely what's happening here. But
makes delicious beignets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, but like, Alfred is the only one who's like flexes any kind of culinary muscle sometimes, you see. But anyway.
Yeah. I think it is because it's so like Batman billionaire centric.
Yeah.
They don't like no one he doesn't care who makes the food.
Right.
He doesn't know. He's
right.
so removed from that process.
Yeah.
He's never even seen a kitchen.
Yeah.
No.
No. Oh, hell.
Where
no.
does the food come from? That's so interesting. That's such an interesting question. I never even thought about
he'd
that.
Probably,
that's
like,
crazy.
He'd probably freak out seeing a kitchen for the first time.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
like
yeah.
in that scene in Ace Ventura 2 when he goes into that room with all the taxidermied animals. He's like, ah! Like, just being like, what? The tools of labor? No.
Wow. Super Production producers Victor just and Justin in. Just both jumped
Whoa.
In at the same time, being like Condiment King. You're missing Condiment King.
Holy
That's
shit!
That's true.
My bad.
That's exactly like what I would expect. I mean, they have like a calendar bad guy. Like they
yeah.
will turn
yeah.
anything into a bad guy.
Thank
so,
you for that,
shout
Jamie.
Out to
pull
Condiment
it up,
King.
Yeah, thanks so much for pulling that up.
That's kind of that's funny though. They're just like, I don't know. Kids don't give a fuck about. Baking. Let's just go with the only food thing they know, ketchup and mustard.
Yeah.
It's so funny that the people, like the comic book company that brought you Condiment King, when they switched to cinema, decided the only creative viewpoint we can have is what if all this was deadly serious real?
Right.
right.
That's right.
Play it real. Amazing. I would like to see them pull off like a serious Condiment King sort of bit, because I mean, now that I remember from the animated series, he was goofy as hell. Didn't he have like just squirt guns with mustard and shit?
Yeah, doesn't he have a
like mind
it's like
mustard?
It's like he looks like kind of like a Mega Man villain with,
yeah,
if I'm recalling correctly, a ketchup squirter and a mustard squirter.
Yep.
Yeah, mustard, yeah. Gas, like, I mean, mustard doesn't always have the most pleasant of connotations, you know.
That's true.
World War I era. So
oh my god, I didn't know his origin story. He was later revealed to be stand-up comedian Buddy Sandler.
Buddy Sandler.
The one thing that DC consistently got right is how many like of the worst people on earth are failed stand-up comedians.
Right. That's right.
Truly, yeah. There's some wisdom here.
That's just the unifying theory. The one thing that's consistent across is like, yeah, and the Joker was a failed stand-up comic, and Condiment King, well, he was a failed stand-up comic.
Listen,
this guy
even
had
if
a failed online comic strip, so we varied it up a little bit.
Technically, you could like he's not a stand-up, but you could tell the Riddler definitely has been to a couple open
mics. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Bombed. Oh, the Riddler failed out of UCB. Like, yeah, lowest level. They were just like, this guy's just going for punchlines every.
You can always retake the class.
The only one who failed out of that. All right, Andrew T. It's truly wonderful to have you here. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about. We're going to talk about Trump's lawyer who... So we speculated like that Trump will secretly take money from foreign governments to get out of this $454 million hole. And then that will like buy those governments various things later when he's president, such as
secrets.
The country. I don't know. But his lawyer was straight up asked the question on Fox News, and the answer was pretty staggering.
Killed it with the
So we'll
answer.
Talk about that. Might even talk about America's corpse problem, all of that, plenty more. But first, Andrew T., we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
You knew it. This is the one that was going to kick off the whole thing. My search history, the most recent, not most recent, but most revealing thing I searched recently was, is there such a thing as savory fondant? And that is because, and I'm just going to do this whole story because I, again, as I said earlier, could not be more proud of myself. The quickest version of this is my friend, writer and showrunner, Zee Chun, used to be a writer on the television show Gotham. And I am just out of friendship embargo because he posted all this yesterday on social media. So
okay,
I feel like I can tell the story.
Yeah, nice.
He, and this has all been on the internet. So he basically tweeted about a failed pitch he had at Gotham, wherein the most psychologically devastating thing that could happen is Bruce Wayne gets baked a cake, but when he cuts into the cake, it's a lasagna inside. So, mildly, I'll say this motherfucker.
That would fuck you way up. Like that, I don't care who you are. That would be a real problem.
This motherfucker has been talking about this for 7 years, I think we worked out. Literally, he brings it up all the time. And this is a side note. I realized every TV writer has a pitch that they are so bitter that they got rejected that they will never let go.
Yeah.
I remembered mine. It was at Robot Chicken. It was a bit that almost made it through the process and onto TV, but then got killed, about a predator that had asthma. Anyway, that's actually the whole joke.
So like invisible, but you just hear him wheezing everywhere. Does the wheezing have like the little like digital whistles and stuff mixed in with it?
I was prepared to let the director work all that out. This is not for me. My pitch was basically, from the Predator's perspective, the events of every Predator movie are just like a sort of Deliverance style worst hunting trip you've ever been on.
Right. And
anyway, see, it's cold. So Z has been pitching or has been talking about a lasagna with inside a birthday cake, but when you cut it, it's lasagna. And so last week for his birthday, me and our friend Pornsack Pichette Schott made him the lasagna cake. And that's why I had to Google, is there such thing as savory fondant?
And is there?
There is not. Fondant's primary ingredient is sugar.
Oh, yeah. Just to get it to even be like that sort of sticky, hard surface.
Yeah. Sugar. Yeah. I wonder if there's something. I mean, I guess the thing that would have the closest consistency is lasagna.
Everyone, when I tell them this, does exactly what you just did, which is it starts the brainstorm going.
Right.
Yeah. What's the replacement ingredient?
Listen, we went down the like, okay, if you mix like ricotta with cream cheese at the right proportions and just like all kinds of options. There was a hearty debate about pomme de puree with like gelatin in it.
Oh, wow. You guys were really going in there. Yeah.
We were really trying to make this happen. Mostly because I was like, I'll do the prank, but I'm not going to waste food.
Yeah.
Because that's so fucked up. So ultimately what we did, so the barrier we hit upon, though, is like any version of something savory was going to give away the surprise via smell. So we made a lasagna and a backup lasagna and then froze them, took them out of the freezer. And then for the sake of the prank, because this is the real world, we wrapped them in foil, covered the foil in regular fondant, and then iced and decorated that.
Wow.
And it worked. We actually like fooled him to the point where
he cut into it. And
I have a video. He cuts into it. He was like, oh, it's an ice cream cake. And you could hear me just too fast going, yep. An ice cream cake.
Yep, ice cream cake. That's right. That's what
just
it is. Tell
her
you take a bite
friend.
And taste it.
Yeah, all for you, buddy.
But I also, I had to, I got a knife sharpener and like got my knife sharp to the sharpest it could possibly be. So it could cut through the foil
easily
with minimum effort. Yeah. Damn. Anyway, I know that's the long version of how this question usually goes, but I cannot stress this is the most flawlessly any project I've ever been involved with, full stop, has ever gone.
Of all of them, yeah. This is
like, we gave out every possibility. I had a hero angle and like some candle positions to make sure some of the lasagna lumps didn't show through. Wow. I'm so proud of this. It's on my Twitter. It's probably off my Instagram stories by the time this comes out, but it's on Twitter. So. Nice.
That's amazing. Writers are so weird. I love it. Like, that's so great.
But like, just for reference, like this bit is older than his child.
Yeah.
And he's still, and I'm not clear who he loves more.
Right. Shit. That's so great. What is something you think is underrated?
Movies you can understand. I watched a bunch of the Oscar movies, or not understand, but like, I think I am, I have moved to the point where like any debate, like I just don't think film debate is good. Anytime anything is ambiguous. I mean, the let's just say the two sides of this coin to me are very clear. Dune 2 and Zone of Interest. Really, like every type of discussion about this, I'm just like, oh my gosh, just fucking make it, you know, filmmakers, put it on the screen. I'm sorry. I know you think that like your audience is better than this, or should be better than this, but the reality is they're not.
Yeah.
So
vaguely gotta, show, don't tell.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We've moved into a new era where people are too stupid to like be trusted with film debate. That's my take.
So just like have a scroll at the end.
Yeah.
It was like, here's a paragraph of what we'd like you to take away from this.
I think every movie now should be required to do like a 80s movie montage type thing where you just see like a 2 second like still, or not still, like a little like frame of each, like a close up of each character, and just underneath it should say, director thinks this is a good guy, director thinks this is a bad guy.
This was the good guy.
He wanted you to root for this person.
Yeah. Right. I just think that is what evidently the internet has revealed to me, that that is what we as a society require.
Right.
And I think we should enact that.
I mean, like much lower stakes, but I still remember like the end of Inception and people just arguing endlessly like, no, it definitely is a dream. Like he meant it for it to be a dream. And it's like,
yeah.
Wait, what did you think he was doing it with that last shot? Like, why did you think he didn't show whether it fell or not? No, but like you could kind of tell that it wobbled, so it's definitely, he's not in a dream, dude.
It's damn. So weird. You know what it is? I think it's the advent of 4K like things that you can pause flawlessly that let people analyze pixels in this way.
Yeah.
That's just like, but no. Like even the amount I've worked in just normal ass television, I can just tell you, no one, even like, you know, the freaks who write shows like Gotham, has thinking like that subtly.
right.
So the lasagna cake, by the way, I do like that you came up with the exact opposite of Is It Cake? The
yes.
Show. Yeah,
yes.
Right. The reverse of that.
This is the reverse of Is It Cake? I am fully prepared to pitch a show just about, like, it's like The Bear, but it takes place in Gotham, and it's just all the unreasonable, fucked up requests that these people who work for the Joker
right. have to do. Yeah, just like below the line employees for the Joker's, like, back of house employees.
Back of house.
back of house at both Wayne Manor and then in the Joker's organization.
Yeah.
And like the day is won by like them being able to like pull various things together or not.
I think they all hang out after work. I think they all probably go to the same kitchen.
And they bitch about their bosses like everybody does. Like, bro,
Turnover, it's like between, you know, fucking IBM and Apple and Microsoft.
Yeah.
Like it's they're just all cycling back and forth. Yeah. They're like, actually this guy was a real riser over in the Joker's like henchman infrastructure. So we should actually bring him in. Yeah. I think he'd actually be pretty good here.
He's like, yeah. He actually QC'd 70 baby dolls that emitted nerve gas out of the butt for one of the Joker's.
That was him?
Attacks.
Oh shit. Yeah, was actually like kind of artistically done.
Yeah. He caught one of the flawed ones that could have ended everyone's life in the factory if it weren't for his, you know, sharp eye.
It's just there's so much manufacturing. That's the real story of the real untold story of anything that happens in Gotham City is this shit takes a lot of work. The engineering that goes into that, you know, the manufacturing that goes into any dumb shit the Joker does. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
It ain't.
Those are the real heroes.
Yeah. This guy's too hopped up on drugs to figure this shit out himself.
Yeah, I know.
So is the Dune 2 debate that like people are like, no, Paul was good guy and that's fucked up that he's pro like American imperialism. Is that kind of the debate? I just saw Dune 2. I had been avoiding it, but I did know there was a controversy.
I think it's like, I would say American, but the world's like protagonist problem. Like, I saw a YouTube that made my fucking head spin where I guess like, listen, I know I'm old and like English is an evolving language. Like, I understand that POV now means the opposite of POV as does literally like
POV means nothing.
However, I did see, and part of it was because this guy was otherwise, I don't even remember the YouTube, but otherwise so like pretentious and like prescriptive about like film, but insisted on calling villains the antagonist, sort of like without understanding that something can be an antagonist to a protagonist, but not a villain.
Right.
And specifically in like, I think it was an analysis of Dune 1 or 2, but it was this thing where I was like, it's just a sort of codified, like protagonist is the quote unquote good guy.
Right. Yes.
And like, they don't understand and like, that's not correct. Or shouldn't be correct.
Yeah.
That was like,
no, that's good guy. That's me.
Yeah.
That's
which is why.
There. Yeah.
Why?
I'm
this
pro.
This is, I'll even give directors a third option. They could just say mid underneath the character and it doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
But that's how you decipher it, dude.
Yeah. Not supposed to know.
Yeah.
Question mark.
But no, but it's fuck movies that you can't understand. I'm pure Madam Web.
Yeah. You can all follow that shit. There. Yeah.
Give me dump that exposition about your mother being in the Brazilian wilderness right before she died.
Did I talk about this on this show? I guess I must not have. Do you guys know that in the actual theatrical cut of Madame Web, I assume
that one's not in there?
It's even better. It's cut in a way that is comedically amazing.
Oh, like, really?
It cuts away from the end. So it is like, it is just like sort of like camp. This sort of like a Rocky Horror Picture version of edging where they like And it just like, doesn't, they don't complete the line. They like cut away. And I'm like, the whole theater I was in just freaked out. It was amazing.
It's what we came for.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Madame Web is currently my most enjoyable cinematic experience of 2024, I believe. Although Love Lies Bleeding was pretty good.
Yeah. Was Love Lies Bleeding good? That I just watched Saint Maud, that filmmaker's first movie. And
I haven't seen
really
Saint Maud yet. Love Lies Bleeding is good in a way that, yeah, I loved how just disgusting it was. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking, everything looks like it's, there's a new filmmaker in my pantheon of, and I'm taking this from someone on Twitter, but I can't remember who, but who said Dave Eggers and Yorgos Lanthimos are the top two of the, it, you know, it smell crazy in their cinematic universe. And I think the director, Rose Glass.
Yeah, from Love
a new entry into the
you know it's so crazy.
Mount Rushmore. That movie looks like it fucking stinks.
Yeah. Not in a bad way. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also one of the only movies that I've ever, when I saw the preview, turned to the person I was with and was like, that's a great fucking title. Like, you know, yeah. I was just like, God damn, man. They like kind of nailed the poetry of that one. They really, fuck yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about something you think is overrated. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back.
We're back.
And we do like to also ask our guest, Andrew, as you very well know, what is something you think is overrated?
I'm realizing as I say this one, I'd written it down. I'm 1,000% sure I have done this already, but it remains true. Mm-hmm. Fucking taking care of yourself. I feel like I've been like doing like just old man mobility stretches in the morning, drinking water a lot more. And the returns are marginal. I'm not saying it's bad, but the returns are. And listen,
it's true, man.
With your minimal effort, you mean the returns are marginal.
It's a lot more like that I want to do, is what I will say.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my God, I'm going to follow a fucking Instagram reel of how to stretch when you're old.
Right.
And I like do it. But here's the thing. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's overrated.
That's right.
There are some returns, but not.
Are you still boxing?
No, no,
Were the returns better boxing? Did you feel better from when you were training boxing?
Ooh, wonderful question. I mean, technically speaking, no. And I will say it's clear that these are part and parcel of things that happened whilst boxing are affecting my need for mobility stretching.
Sure.
But no, I mean, I felt destroyed after boxing, but like not boxing and stretching and drinking water, I only feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Interesting.
As I've gotten older, like a lot of the things that are supposed to invigorate me, like doing a cold plunge or drinking enough water or like working out in the morning, now instead just make me tired.
Like
I've like started to be like, I don't think Donald Trump is like right about many things, but his thing about like how exercise like wastes the energy and you only have a certain number of heartbeats in your life.
Right.
Like, I see how he got there, because exercise is exhausting. My body is old as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Long term, though, pointless. I'm sure you'll appreciate it long term, though, because even the mobility stuff, you're not going to turn stiff. Andrew, you're shaking your head no vigorously.
Here's
you
why.
You don't think there's any long term benefit? Every older person in my life has told me, man, at the very least, fucking stretch, because your shit will become stiff.
I agree with you, but here's what I mean, though, is when you don't do it, you like have some like, you know, you have some level of regret, because you kind of like imagine and remember when you were more limber and you feel yourself being old and stiff now. Mm-hmm. But if you do stretch, you still wind up pretty stiff. And all you do, you're like a little more limber, of course. Again, I'm not saying it's useless. I'm just saying the ROI is not what I'd hoped.
Yeah. Right, sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
you feel a little better, but I don't think you feel enough better to justify it.
I also think the answer is just like everybody's body is so different, you know. Like,
yeah,
the cold plunge thing really seems to work for some people, and for me, it's like somebody just like fucking shook the shit out.
Are you going to a place to plunge? No.
We just have a pool that is cold enough. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
But you're not doing the shit like, where you're putting like ice in like
no,
a little bucket.
I'm not
okay,
like,
okay.
Cryo yeah, fuck.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not cryo fucking myself.
Yeah.
But it's still just like I feel tired and I'm like, yeah, because it just like flooded me with all this fucking, I don't know, whatever the blood chemicals are that when your body's like, fuck, what the fuck is that? What? You know? Like, stop it. Stop. Yeah. And then my body's like, yeah, well, that sucked.
All right.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Having nearly that died, again.
Yeah.
I need to recover for 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's also revealing that maybe, Andrew, you're one of the like the rare people who doesn't have to do much to still feel okay all the time.
Because
I am also kind of in that world, too, where I'm like, nah, bro, I ain't doing shit. I'm like, evolutionarily speaking, they're like, you had to... I was like, is laziness an actual positive trait, evolutionarily speaking? I'm like, probably. But
I'm a little both, yeah.
Because I have friends who need it, and they're like, nah, bro, I'm fucked up. Like, I have to do something. And I look at them, I'm like, you have to do something?
I don't want the listeners and you, Miles, to misunderstand me. I do feel like shit. I'm just saying... All I'm saying is the amount that I feel like shit
isn't changing enough that you're
to
like,
my stretching
wow,
time.
Got
yeah.
it. Right. Well, I'm here to say I'm one of the physically exalted few.
Yeah.
You can just dump garbage in your body, not do anything.
Taco Bell, like, lay down.
Fine. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what my blood work says, but I don't do it because it'll say something's
little
wrong.
Yeah.
Blood work lies.
Yeah.
That's right. Blood work lies bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
The follow-up.
Full circle.
All right. Speaking of Trump, let's talk about, this is just a quick interview, but I think it's worth noting, because we've mentioned before the possibility that like Trump could take foreign money to help pay his mounting legal debts, which he and his lawyers keep being like, that's impossible. We will not be able to pay this. And it's like, but you're supposed to be billionaire, man. You're supposed to have all these buildings that you can just sell.
You testified earlier that you had $400 million cash. yeah, on hand.
Just like around. Just like in a bathtub, I think
oh,
you said.
Shit. Yes. My wallet's in the other room, though.
Yeah.
No, I was going to pay it. I was going to pay it today. I was.
Yeah. So, presumably because they thought she'd have a better answer than this, Fox News actually questioned his lawyer about this. Like, straight up just were like, so are you planning on paying the $454 million using money from countries like Russia or Saudi Arabia, like, you know, like the woke lib media is saying? And the response was surprising.
Yeah. And I guess shouldn't be, because Alina Haba, throughout her entire course of representing Donald Trump, has just been like a fucking hall of fame of like wacky legal takes. And sometimes you're like, does this person actually know the law, or are they just there to be like a hot take merchant? But anyway, here's the question and answer segment there.
Is there any effort on the part of your team to secure this money through another country, Saudi Arabia or Russia, as Joy Behar seems to think?
Well, there's rules and regulations that are public. I can't speak about strategy that require certain things, and we have to follow those rules. Like I said, this is manifest injustice. It is impossible. It's an impossibility. I believe they knew that. I think that's why mid-trial, frankly, they changed their ask from $250 million to the ridiculous amount of money that they've asked for. I think everything is done in...
I mean, I think it's also important. That number they came up with, that's based on the amount of fraud the fucking Trump organization committed. It's not just they're like, you know what? Fuck them. Add another 200.
This is a case about how you're always saying you have more money than you do, and how you're always saying you have this amount of money. But just the answer somehow wasn't no is kind of the big takeaway.
I can't speak about strategy. Yo, I'm sorry. Because like, if you think about like, you cannot get a security clearance if you got a ton of debt. That's just a general thing when it comes to like
as Joy Behar
stuff.
Seems to think. Yeah. Like that's the then you're
so
just like
weird,
well,
that you don't
I can't actually knock that one out of the park, unfortunately.
Like AI could answer that. It's like, yes. Hey ChatGPT, you're a guest on Fox News, and you have just been told something that Joy Behar said. What is your answer? Like the response
Andrew,
is the opposite of a Joy Behar.
Andrew, I can't speak about strategy. That requires certain things. I think we're done here. That requires certain things?
That's true.
Very, very succinct and specific. Can't speak about strategy. That requires certain things. And we're done here. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's fucked. Like that. I mean, yeah. Well,
I genuinely think that those countries would sort of say, this is too, like, we could buy Trump for much less. I think what's going on is an actual negotiation that, like, I think the problem is, like, they're like, we can get you for 80 mil, dog. Like, this is an insane markup. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to rally together like a coalition, you know, like trying to buy the Nets or whatever. Get a couple.
consortium of owners. Yeah.
Yeah. If like, you know, 20 countries each kick in 80, like now we're talking, you know, 40 million. Now we got something.
I know. Yeah. The hard bit there is just being like, once he gets it, he's not going to be like, bro, I don't owe y'all shit.
Yeah,
I can just see him easily being like, yeah, I just skated on that one. Sorry. Peace.
It does feel like, and this probably can't be true just given the way the world is, but it does almost feel like his bullshit, like he's run out of runway on his, you know, just fucking train track that he was building, like as he was driving the train of just like lies and bullshit and intimidation. And like, just this feels like the place where it's like, his just unshakable like inability not to want to have as much money as possible and want to seem like he has as much money as possible is like kind of getting in the way of him being able to function in the way that he has up to this point.
Yeah. Well, and then there's also just too, like the people that were giving him money, I think they're also literally running out of money too.
Yeah.
Like the small dollar donors, like the people that are sub $200 donations, he had almost 63% less money from small dollar donors than he did in 2019. And it's just been trending down.
Let me throw this out there. This is for all you MAGA heads out there. This is what Joe Biden's been trying to do with all this inflation. You know, he's trying to keep you from being right. able to send money to President Trump.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. Will a Sheldon Adelson or someone come from the shadows and be like, all right, bro, here's the money. But it's very difficult to
But
to
that's like addict behavior at this point, because it's like all you're doing is protecting the money you already threw at him.
You're enabling. Like, yeah.
You're not giving him, you're not getting anything from him. Yeah, not even enabling though, too. It's just like, it's ROI. Listen, I clearly, all I've been thinking is ROI up and down this last, since I've last been on the show. But what is the value of giving him this money? Like,
you're not going to get a $500 million back in some other kind of shit. Or maybe you do in the, maybe you've done some calculus and you're like, well, it's worth it for certain arms shipments, depending on what government is looking at this. But Yeah,
when we first heard that, like, the Chubb guy was going to bail him out, I was like, I mean, it kind of makes sense because he thinks he might be president, but how, like, what possible way is he getting that money back? And then it was like, oh, no, that shit fell through. He's not going to be getting, but, like, what form could you possibly get a $454 million return on your investment?
I think honestly, the only way to be like, I don't know if I own all his properties.
Right. Yeah. Like own all his properties and the president while he's in the president. Like, while he is the president.
But it's like, what you going to like defeat America in a nuclear war? Like, what do you get out of this that allows you to continue to be a wealthy person in a functioning world? Like, this is like starting to be existential in that, like, listen, the reality is, like, even the fucking, like, worst people on earth don't really want a bit, you know, they're not going to be their, even their wealth is not going to be as fun if, like, you know, things really go to shit. And, like, so what do you get for $500 million from Trump? Like, what can he offer you, really?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's why you have to be so wealthy that a $500 million is like, bro, I don't give a fuck.
It's got to be Putin. Like, it really does have to be Putin or Saudi Arabia at this point. Like, that's why this line of questioning makes sense and should not have been, like, flippantly raised by Fox News. It's like, Putin is what is probably the richest person in the history of the world. He just, like, hides his money in, like, cello players that he grew up with. But he could probably swing it, but like that feels like it's got to be illegal. And
but to still, what end? even if he's what, like, he would have to do it out of like personal, like, friendship with Donald Trump. I don't think that exists. Like, there's no, like,
or just like such a severe switch in foreign policy that, like, you can makes it easier to fully just antagonize like the rest of Western Europe and then be like, do your thing, bro. We're not gonna do shit. Like, go get their ass. I don't know, but even then, that seems so far off.
I still think if you want that, there's better ways to spend $500 million.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Like, and, I think also when you look at, like, the rumors around him are like, people keep telling him he might be able to win on appeal to the Supreme Court, and you're like, he's still like, yo, you're really, you've got your head in the fucking clouds right now. I mean, I know they're down to bail you out, but like, I don't hang on that or being like, well, watch this. If they do seize my assets, my base, they're going to really come to life when they see them take all my things away from me.
Yeah, and that's what they love.
That's maybe what it is, but it's really hard to see.
But you bring up the Supreme Court. If I'm Vladimir Putin, you can buy the Supreme Court for $3 million. Why would you buy the executive temporarily for $500 million?
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, not worth it.
And I might be chief executive, you know?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, we'll see. A chance. So your expected value on that is like, I don't know, 48%. Right. So you need to get a full $1 billion worth out of this.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. As your financial advisor, Vladimir Putin, we're going to say just like keep your powder dry for a little bit. Till he gets real desperate.
Hate giving you good financial advice here, sound financial advice.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, better ways to spread that money out, man.
You could buy the other two branches of government for 100 max.
Oh, yeah. easy. Yeah.
I think 60, maybe, you know. It's bad value. Don't do it, Vlad. Or do it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with some financial advice. For other international monsters.
Hold up.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie? Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones? Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change? Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back.
We're back.
And America has a bit of a corpse problem. We're running out of cemetery space. There's like wait lists and shit, like a trendy restaurant.
Oh my god.
Yeah
it's Which, everywhere. It's everywhere.
Like, yeah.
I think it's also funny, like, if people, like, in our minds are like, yeah, cemetery. Like, that's where the bodies go, without thinking that that's a finite piece of land.
Yeah, it's just like a little park.
Yeah.
Yeah. They usually don't have empty spots, tons of empty spots.
Yeah, because the solutions are not great. Like, it's like you can be buried in a communal grave, or there might be someone buried upon top of you.
Yeah.
If as a way to make space, or rent out graves.
This is the 15-minute city of death.
Yeah. Do you want to know what to do with all those hotels that people aren't staying in anymore?
Yeah. Oh, boy. That one downtown. Airbnb. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess this is especially a problem in the U.S. where people seem to believe that cemeteries never run out of space. That seems to just be a frame of mind
so weird.
In the U.S. in general. That is not true, which is why some bodies have to get buried on top of existing graves, like Miles said. Some countries only rent out graves. Meaning that when the term expires, the body's dug up and added to a communal grave, kind of like a timeshare for skeletons.
You got to be like, oh, hey, you know, my burial plot, it ain't a rental. Oh, right. Really? Yeah. I own that shit. Ooh.
Eternity. Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
I see in you in the same baby. Space forever.
Across the universe, you know what I mean?
The other problem is that cemeteries are actually terrible for the environment. We pump bodies full of, like, toxic chemicals for their big day in the, like, open casket funeral, and then just, like, shove them into a concrete encased wooden box that gets buried in the earth. No idea what could be wrong with that. But apparently the embalming chemicals have been known to leach into groundwater.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, oh, why can't they do it? Like, because, like, in Japan and, like, Asia, that's cremation. Like, because, like, in Tokyo, there's no room. If you go to, like, a graveyard in Tokyo or, like, a cemetery, it's just a bunch of stone pillars, like, crammed together. Everyone is cremated. But even then, I guess that also has issues, too.
Yeah. There's cremation, also problematic for the environment. It produces millions of tons of carbon dioxide emissions per year.
Many facilities lack modern filtration systems, so you're probably breathing in a bunch of corpse right now, corpse dust.
Eh. I'm fine with that.
Which I'm good with. Like, yeah, that's actually what I want to happen to my body is like for it to get inhaled and then coughed out by some future, you know, asthmatic. But I guess cremation has gone from 21% of, like, you know, bodies in the US in 1996 to now 56%, which I guess people are just becoming less
on the balance. That has to be the better option, right? I'm skimming the research here, but
yeah, well, I think there's a lot of different angles, because I can see how you'll also see studies like from people that are for traditional burial to be like, cremation is actually really bad for the environment. Or like this other thing's really bad for the environment, because there are a lot of stakeholders when you think about like, especially the traditional, like this cemetery industrial complex, like your forest lawns, et cetera. They definitely, because like, you know, anybody who's driven on the 134 past Griffith Park, like over the years, you've seen like this one part that was like a hillside slowly be like, nah, man, we got to fucking put graves there too.
We got to corpse that shit up.
Like to the fence line. Yeah, and I grew up like growing up in LA, like that always used to be like this one part you really couldn't see much of like the cemetery. But now it's fully like to the like the property borders.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it takes up space.
Which is what you want your eternal resting place to have, a good view of the highway.
The lawless 134, the home of the highest rates of speeding.
This has to be like rooted in religion somehow, like the idea that a body specifically is so precious and important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So but it like, was, I think the rise, like cremation, I think is against the rules for like Catholicism at least.
Oh, and really? So,
yeah. So they speculate that the reason that cremation's going up is because people are getting less serious about like following every letter of the law.
There's
there's a cool pope now. He'll let you burn your body to a crisp.
Wild rules. I actually did not know. I don't know jack shit about any type of Christianity, it turns out, but
yeah.
Wow.
No, I remember, in school, like going to like Lutheran and Catholic school, talking, like I remember when my grandfather died during like the same time the Northridge earthquake, I missed school and I came back and then I explained what a Japanese like funeral was. I'm like, yeah, and then they cremate you and they're like, oh yeah, we don't do it.
There's just a gasp, an audible gasp goes up throughout the entire school.
Oh yeah, I'm like, that shit you saw me do, the LeBron with the talcum powder earlier, that was my grandfather. Yeah.
So the good news is more and more Americans are considering green burials, where you skip the embalming fluid, wear biodegradable outfits, or wear nothing at all, which I kind of like. Just being like,
loose.
Just throw my dead body in the ground loose. Bury me loose. Whose line is that?
It's from Twitter. Now I think it's just... We should credit them.
I think it was one of our former guests. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Nice. I think so.
Oh, but Yedoya Travis.
Yeah, it was Yedoya. That's how I thought it was Yedoya. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But bury me loose is great.
He said, damn, a coffin costs $4,000. Y'all can bury me loose.
Oh, man. Shit.
That's from 2 years ago. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so there's that. They could just throw your naked ass in the ground loose. They can also, there's a new thing, new cremation process called aquamation or alkaline hydrolysis, which immerses bodies in a mixture of water and strong alkali and liquefies everything but the bones, they basically like do to your body what Heathcliff the cat does to a fish. Where, like, they put the fish in and then just pulls the skeleton clean.
Full skull, yeah.
Yeah, this is what I want. But then they dry your bones in an oven and reduce that to white dust, which, fine, but it feels like you're wasting my skeleton.
Yeah.
Like, I just gave you a clean skeleton and you're not going to scare some kids with
it? A nice stock. I will say this alkalization is it. I'm pretty sure that's the shit they do to that one guy in Breaking Bad.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I think that one actually dissolves the bones, whereas this one just is like a great process for getting some bones, for getting some clean, nice, shiny bones. There's something about this that really excites me.
Just about your own skeleton. You're like, oh, yeah, that'd be so cool to look like.
I mean, you're Yeah, a Jack Skellington.
That's right. I think that's it. I think ever since I heard that, I've just been like, my bones just desire to be free. They want to get out, to jump out of my body.
I'm encumbered by my flesh.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm all for this, for the green movement. Of course, there is going to be some dumb bullshit. For instance, people are like, water cremation? That must mean that they recycle your bodies into drinking water and that we're all drinking corpse juice.
Yeah.
Which it does not. But, you know, the existing cemetery human remains disposal industry is obviously not going to
also
allow something like this to happen.
To those people, I got real bad news about standing bodies of water.
Yeah. Right.
It's all in there.
Yeah. I also like, the other pushback from the Catholic Church, they called the process unnecessarily disrespectful of the human body. And if pressured lawmakers to not approve it. And I'm like, oh, yes, the Catholic Church, the true arbiters of what is and isn't disrespectful of the human body. Yeah,
maybe,
thank you. Thanks
maybe
for chiming
concentrate
in.
On some of the stuff you're doing to some living bodies first. And then.
No, I just think it's desecration. You know, that's what it is. And it's like, but again, we don't have unlimited cemetery space. So something's got to give. I mean, culturally, I see myself going the way of the dust packet.
Yeah.
But then we can free up so much land.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so Germany is obviously a little bit ahead of us on the macabre and death related things. And so they've like already been converting cemeteries to just like parks, which I don't know. I grew up I lived a lot of places, and the ones that I like spent a lot of time like riding bikes around, I remember like cemeteries being just some of the most beautiful places like in these towns, or just these like huge, lush parks that are just full of dead bodies.
Yeah.
My
sister
that'd be dope.
Lives near sort of a cemetery in Atlanta. And last time I was there, we took a little walk, and there was a moment where I was like, which one of these motherfuckers owned slaves? Oh, all of them.
Oh, they're all in that mausoleum over there.
Yeah. Ooh. Right. But yeah, the part, it's nice to walk through it as long as you don't think about anything.
I guess that's the part. I've never been able to go in like a cemetery and be like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
I don't know. Like, I just, every time I'm in there, I'm like, damn, shit, fucking bunch of, this is where everybody dead in here.
That's everywhere, bro.
I know. That's just, I think, my own sort of like juvenile perception of like a cemetery. But like zooming out, it is true. Like the grass is always green. They got great trees. There's a lot of shade. And yeah, I guess we have to throw cemeteries up there with like golf courses.
Yeah.
Of, like,
take the golf courses first. But please.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
take the
in order.
Golf courses first.
And then we'll get to you later, cemeteries. But also like, but what does that mean
I'm saying there's a little convergence right here. A little bit about burying people in golf courses. Right.
bury the golfers where they stand.
Yeah. But then what do you do? Like, does it matter that there is like a place where the quote unquote body is at rest that you can visit?
I think there's probably, like, I think it's fine to like bury people loose or like in the biodegradable clothing, and then you can go visit. And there's probably should be like some regulation around that. I think that's fine. I think it's important, like, sometimes to like have a ritual or a ceremony of some sort with around death, for sure. Yeah. I would definitely want to make room for everybody to have their specific rituals, because it's a tough thing to get your mind around, for sure.
Yeah.
But
it's like disentangling them from real estate. Is I think but, like so important
the fact that it has to be done like a real estate deal the second as you're dealing with that shit is pretty
weird. I don't want to like overly follow the money here, but I think for the Catholic Church, I got to imagine cemeteries are a relatively large profit center for the Catholic Church.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it requires employing a priest usually, or hiring a priest to do something.
Like if it's on church grounds, I assume you got to pay some sort of maintenance. Like it's eternal rent,
right?
Yeah,
because I just think because in Japan, like we have a thing called butsudan, which is like an altar that you kind of keep in your house that is meant to sort of be like your little shrine for family members that have passed away, and that's how you pay your respect. I mean, you can obviously, yeah, there's a graveyard
or something.
Yeah, yeah, you can visit that, but it'll be like a picture of them, and then you'll put some like their favorite stuff in there. Like my grandfather liked scotch, so you put a bottle of scotch in there, yeah, and like some cigarettes, yeah, that he liked or whatever, and then you light incense, and that's kind of like how you kind of be like, yeah, there he is. All right, cool. I don't have to go to a fucking cemetery.
It, to me, it's so weird that like the people that believe most in the idea of like a spirit or an angel or whatever think that spirits can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Better. Like, I'm just like, yeah, just fucking have a representation or whatever. Like, yeah. Yeah. They're spirits. They can fly.
Don't worry. Yeah. They've actually left our physical plane. And yeah, it's everywhere.
Point.
Yeah.
The whole basis of most of this shit is like, they're anywhere.
Yeah. The Bible's not like, and when you pass away, you in that fucking box 6 feet under. Don't even fucking try to get out.
It's so bizarre that it's like hanging on to the one thing that the rest of their religion is like, this is the least important part.
Yeah. But we do need the most passive income possible.
Yeah.
So we're going to need you to just pay us rent while you're dead, if that's cool. Thanks. If that's cool with you. Ugh. Well, Andrew T., what a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I mean, I don't know, just Andrew T. I guess, yeah, find me on Twitter to look at this fucking ridiculous thing. And
it's ridiculous.
My podcast is Yo, Is This Racist? We're doing stuff. I don't know.
You are. Always. Yeah. One of the greats.
Thank you. Thank you.
And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh my God. Okay. I'm looking for it now. I'm scrolling back through my likes. There was a Reddit post about a guy whose marriage fell apart because he asked his wife of 10 years for a paternity test for their kid.
Wow.
And oh shit, I'm not going to be able to find it, but it is just, you know, like red pill comeuppance in general.
Right. Just
but
like
yeah. This I was not aware. I'm aging out of being on the internet every single second, but yeah, I guess this is like a new like manosphere, red pill, Joe Rogan-y adjacent, or possibly within Joe Rogan, I don't know, like type of viewpoint is like always get a paternity test.
Oh, always, dude.
Because women always cheat. And like, it's so, the post is so funny. Okay, I did find it. I'll send a link to just like
the footnotes.
Yeah. I just like a Twitter thing. I don't know. This might require more actual research, but it is just a dude who is like genuinely like does not understand why his marriage is falling apart because he essentially accused his wife of however many years of cheating on him, having a kid with no evidence. It's
just the vibes, I guess.
Yeah. It's exactly what he deserves, man, it's fucking bonkers.
Amazing. I always I don't listen to Rogan for his political takes, okay, guys? But when it comes to my relationship, that's where I gotta go to find out.
Because that's the life I want.
My wife, man.
Who's his wife? Does he, like, it's so mysterious. When he's done recording, he just punches a fucking punching bag, smokes a cigar, and then cries in the dark or some shit.
Nah. Well, yeah. I mean, he does go into a flotation tank. So
it's kind
of woke and trippy. Cool. I can't wait to read that. Miles, where can people find you? Is there work and media you've been enjoying?
Oh, man. Find me on the Twitter, the Instagram at Miles of Gray. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack. I'm at Boosties. You can find me on 420 Day Fiance. A tweet I like, this is just reminds me of what Andrew just brought up in his Overrated Underrated. It's from Brooks Otterlake at I_ZZZZ tweeted, "The zone of interest was confusing to me. People walk out of frame and it's like, okay, first of all, where did they go? Secondly, and I guess this is sort of a related question, where are they? Are they somewhere?"
And I guess this is a related question.
Listen, I all satire, like, this is where we're at. We're back to, we should have just a little caption when the train or car comes towards the screen and say, "Don't worry, you won't be hit by a car."
Yeah. Right.
Like, not real train.
Yeah. We are completely media illiterate, and that should be the baseline assumption for anyone making anything.
Absolutely. All right. A tweet I've been enjoying, Dan White at Dan White, who's just a very consistent Twitter presence.
Yeah.
Sharing a conversation that he's having with a friend about watching March Madness. He texts his friend, "March Madness, baby. Can't wait to watch later. Bringing chips. Also, can I use your bathroom as a green room for Mr. Basketball?" And then a picture of a guy in a full body basketball suit. And his friend just writes, "Please don't wear the suit." And he replies, "It's cool. I really don't mind. That's literally why I bought it. I just need a, quote, green room to cool off and eat Clif Bars between games. It gets so fucking hot in the suit. Also need a place to empty my piss shit bag every 15 to 17 minutes." His friend goes, "No." And he says, "I promise I won't spill." Actually, I can't promise that, but I'll do my best. The backstory this year is that Mr. Basketball is a gambling addict who lost $80,000 on a DraftKings and now has to win his March Madness pool before his wife, Mrs. Fernandez Basketball, finds out. And he has ED. Shit. I was literally laughing with
tears. It's compelling. It's compelling.
It is a compelling backstory. Shout out to Dan White. You can find me on Twitter, liking stuff like that, at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what's the song you think people might enjoy?
There's a band called Royal Otis, and I'm like, just based on the vibe, I'm like, I'm fairly confident they're from Australia because there's so many great bands coming out of Australia right now. And this track is called Foam, and it's kind of like if Kevin Parker from Tame Impala was like kind of fucking with more like world rhythms. It's kind of got like that early Vampire Weekend kind of vibe to it, where it's like sort of got that sort of like West African-ish adjacent, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like straightforward rock, but it's still a dope track. It's called Foam, and it's by Royel Otis. It's spelled R-O-Y-E-L-O-T-I-S.
Okay. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We are back on Monday with a whole new episode, tell you what is trending, back over the weekend with a rundown, a digest of all the stuff we talked about this week. And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.